From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the Texas school district that refused to die, how Premont ISD survived the Texas Education Agency's death penalty.
I think it sent a message out to the community of how urgent and desperate this crisis is. It was a tough decision. I mean, I pondered over it a long time because I knew it would have great ramifications. It would hurt a lot of people's feelings because, they love sports.
Support for Texas Matters is provided by the Institute of Texan Cultures, putting the Lone Star State's people, products, and ideas known around the world on display with the exhibit Made in Texas, now open. More at texancultures.com.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. It's a Friday evening in late August at Cowboy Stadium. No, not the modern, magnificent temple to football that the Dallas Cowboys play at. This is the Cowboy Stadium that's the home to the Premont High School football team, also known as the Cowboys. The name is about all the two teams share. In Premont, it's not really a stadium. It's a football field with bleachers running down the sidelines. This will be the first football game of the season for the Premont Cowboys, and before the kickoff, there is a tradition to be observed, something that makes Texas high school football so significant to these small towns across the state. Premont is in Jim Wells County, on the lower coastal bend of Texas, halfway between Corpus Christi and the Rio Grande Valley on Highway 281.
Number 70, Tommy Suarez. He is the son of Albert Suarez.
The ritual continues. Each player on the team is called out, wearing his red and blue uniform and pads with his parents at his side. They walk to the center of the 50-yard line, and a cheerleader runs out and gives the player's mother a bouquet of flowers. It's a ritual of passage for the players. They're presented to their town and honored. As the season progresses, they'll play the surrounding towns and play for the honor of Premont. The South Texas sun begins to creep closer to the horizon. The golden light is still hot enough to keep the temperature in the upper 90s. The ceremony wraps up, and soon the team begins its warm-up for the big game. This evening, the Premont Cowboys will play against the cross-county rival, the Ben Bolt Badgers. And soon after the kickoff, it's clear this game is going to be a mismatch. The Badgers are a strong team, and Premont isn't. Premont fumbles on its first four possessions. Ben Bolt scores easily and often. The game grinds on.
Gabriel Ramirez. It'll be first and goal at the Cowboys' five-yard line.
Many of Premont's players are playing both sides of the game, offense and defense. And when halftime comes, some even pull off their pads and pick up an instrument to join the band. Second half, not much changes for Premont. Ben Bolt continues to dominate and racking up points. The final score, 45-0. Throughout the game, one man is watching the action from the Cowboys' sidelines, Ernest Singleton. He's the new superintendent for Premont ISD. As he watches the game, the town watches him, because it'll be up to Singleton if the school district and the town survive.
So how important is having this football game for the community beyond the high school, beyond the school?
Well, obviously, it's a nucleus to gather the social community together and give them some team spirit and give them an opportunity to be together as a city and also that celebration that we're here this year and we're going to make it the best year we can and we're planning for years in the future.
It was 3 weeks earlier that Premont ISD received a letter from the TEA, the Texas Education Agency, saying the school district is being ordered closed down. The last day for the school district would be in July 2012. And in the following school year, the students would be bused to another school district. I spoke to Premont ISD's school board president, Carmen Garcia, soon after that fateful letter from the TEA arrived.
The community, it's a small, very close-knit community, about 2,500 is the population. The first reaction, of course, we were very sad. And then the majority were also angry that, how did this happen or what happened? The thing is, there will be no more red and white proms, football games, Premont Cowboys, Premont Cowgirls. At this time, we don't know where we're going to be annexed to, but being on the board, I have received many calls. None of them are demeaning in any way. All my phone calls have been sad. I had a local businesswoman call me crying. She has a flower shop. She does all the corsages and everything for the students. She's known them all through all these years. She was taking it with a great deal of sorrow. It's like a death. The teachers, but what are they going to do? The local people that will lose their jobs, we're all so worried. This was once a booming little town, and now we're so worried that we're going to turn into a ghost town.
That was Carmen Garcia, Premont ISD school board president, in August after the school district received a letter from the TEA ordering the school district closed. A spokesperson for the TEA said there was no hope of changing the fate for Premont.
It's Debbie Ratcliffe. The full title is Director of Communications and State Board of Education Support. Well, they really have a poor enough track record right now that we could have closed them now, but we wanted to give them a year to wind down, and we need to, since they've got to consolidate with another district, that just takes some time. It would be very hard for them to turn the situation around at this point.
Superintendent Singleton had no intention of seeing Premont shuttered. Before the TEA's death penalty letter had arrived, he had already begun to reform the school district, and he had even picked up a paintbrush to join others in fixing up some of the poorly maintained classrooms. On the first day of the school year, students gathered and wondered about their fate. Would this be the last first day of school for Premont? On that first day, Superintendent Singleton brought the students into the school's auditorium and explained what's at stake.
Welcome back to school, by the way. Welcome to the secondary school. I know it's going to be new and different, but it's going to be a lot of fun. You all know the rumors that have floated around town that we may be closing July 1st, 2012. Well, that rumor is not a rumor, it's fact. But let me say, if we have 175 days to prove ourselves to TEA, if you have cousins that are younger and you have cousins or brothers and sisters that are older, you want them to graduate from Premont High School. But if you don't get your act together as students, and we don't get our act together as teachers, we're going to lose this school. That's just the bottom line. So more than ever in the history of Premont, ever, it's your responsibility to step up to the plate this year as young boys and girls. And I don't care if you're struggling, we'll help you. Every day you come and goof off, you're hurting the chances of Premont to stay open past next July. And think about Premont without a school. Think about that. Think about Premont for a place that you would have to take a bus ride to another town to go to a school. Now, I don't want to scare you, and I'm not trying to use scare factors. I'm trying to be very honest with all of you, just like it was with the staff. If we don't all perform at the highest level, we're going to lose this school. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Is it really understood?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Singleton was fighting a battle on multiple fronts. If he was going to save the school district, he would have to win at home by boosting attendance and test scores while improving the school district's finances. And he would have to win in Austin with the TEA. His strategy for the TEA was figure out a way to get more time.
My name is Ernest Singleton, and I'm interim superintendent for Premont Independent School District.
Do you think that Premont can be saved?
Yes. If we're given enough time, that's the one key component is the timeline from now till July the 1st, 2012 is pretty severe constraint as far as making a big gain in systemic changes. So that's part of the appeal process that we're going to approach TEA with, is to give us some extended time before they make a final decision about closure.
So first you're going to ask them for more time, and then in that time institute some reforms and provide some results.
Yes. That's exactly what the Texas Education Agency is all about, results-based outcomes. And so if with our deficit, they're going to want to see the deficit cleared away and a positive fund balance implemented, or recover with the positive fund balance. In student performance, they're going to want to see some definite gains in performance on state assessments and overall performance with their daily grades. But I would say the majority of what they're going to be looking at is state assessment.
When you look out at the faces of those kids this morning, what are you thinking?
That's why I'm here.
Months pass, and the school district is finally able to pass a tax increase called a TRE. After years of trying, voters finally approved the measure. The money had been needed for years to make up for a reduction in state funds coming to the school districts. But it wasn't going to be enough to meet the TEA's standards for the science labs that needed to be upgraded, and there was no more money in the budget. That's when Singleton made the decision to cut the sports programs.
The decision of the sports suspension, that was kind of the catalyst that just got everything into motion for us. Got us all the attention, the national attention, the statewide attention.
You were on Fox News.
Yeah, unbelievable. That was a first for me, which was kind of exciting, but I think it was a good way to get that message out. And then the newspapers and some other outlets just...
New York Times.
...took it and rolled with it, and that has gotten enough attention to get people saying, hey, maybe we better not let this district go down. So
how did you come up with that decision to do that?
Just costing it out and looking at what was available to us in reserve fund or within the budget, and realizing I couldn't make it.
So where did the cost savings come from in sports?
We saved with tennis, baseball, and track and field. Coaches and assistant coaches received stipends, meals for students, uniforms, equipment, officials, travel, buses. And then after a while it adds up. So we saved about almost $70,000 this semester, and we're saving about almost 90 to 100 next fall by not having your most expensive sport, which is football and volleyball. So together, I thought, well, okay, we can either not have the money and not do these activities and close, or I can make a hard decision and capture some money that is out there.
And this was because of the abatement that the TEA said.
Absolutely.
Here are the 11 points you have to meet.
Absolutely.
You got to find money to get the science labs.
Yeah.
You had already stretched the budget, scrubbed the budget, and you found there's no money there.
Not enough. What drove the decision was I knew we wouldn't make it otherwise. There was no way we would make it. Since then, though, we've been able to, touch the hearts of a lot of different people, community people, individuals, partnerships with corporations, some foundations, and so far our total is about 125 that we've raised just for the science labs. I think it sent a message out to the community of how urgent and desperate and this crisis is. And it was a tough decision. I mean, I pondered over it a long time because I knew it would have great ramifications. It would potentially affect enrollment. It would affect the politics of the community, and it would hurt a lot of people's feelings because they love sports.
Premont ISD School Board President Carmen Garcia explained at the time the school had no choice but to cut sports.
I think that most of the community understands, and so they're backing our decision because we had informed them before we voted to agree to this amended abatement from TEA that there would be drastic changes in programs and sports might be one of them. And we said that in open meeting on the 11th last week. There were about 40 people in attendance, so I know the message got out.
So when you say
they might have not thought we were really going to do it, but we had no choice.
So when you say you had this abatement from the TEA, last time we talked, you had gotten a message from the Texas Education Agency that they were going to shut down or possibly shut down Premont ISD. In that time, you guys have done everything you can to turn things around at the school, and the TEA has come back to you and said, okay, we'll allow you to stay open at least one more year if you meet these conditions. And this, I guess, is you trying to take advantage of this opportunity.
Of course. And there are about 11 bullet points in the TEA's abatement of our record review. They're difficult, very, very difficult. I think we can meet it financially by cutting out sports. We have to have two fully functional science labs by August the 1st of this year. And we understand that. We've been working towards that. We got enough donations to build one by the end of by December of this past year, but we need another $50,000 to build the other one. And that is exactly more or less what we're going to have left over by cutting out the rest of sports for the spring of 2012. And perhaps another $50,000 by canceling sports in the fall of 2012.
Canceling sports, I mean, in the name of academics, yeah, that's great. But sometimes sports are the only thing that keep certain kids in school. It does allow school spirit. The band plays at sports events. I mean, I was at a Premont ISD Cowboys football game, and I really saw how the whole town came out and cheered for the team.
I'm right here. Yes, I understand all of that, and I understand that point of view. Be careful. And I can see both sides. I can. But we had no choice. We can't cut anywhere else. We cut last year by combining two campuses and saving money on maintenance, electrical, and so on and so forth, whatever goes with closing a campus. Now, kids need to stick together. Let's get together. Let's work together on science projects. Let's work together on other things, not just sports. Academics is first. We have to remember that. We're under the watchful eye of TEA. Now, I do want to make one thing clear. They did not exactly give us another year. In that agreement, the commissioner reserves the right to close us at any time in the next 12 months if we do not perform. So the 1 year is not written in stone.
There was the plan that you Premont ISD would be combined with San Diego ISD. Is that the possibility if they shut you down, that's what would happen?
What happens is we have to, okay, annexation. It's not like consolidation. Annexation is by the order of TEA. The school boards don't have a choice. There is no voting done. And you have to be annexed to a school district that has a contiguous boundary with you. And we probably have four districts. Now, why San Diego? Why did TEA bring up San Diego? We don't know. But is that going to be the one in the end if we do get annexed? We don't know. It's 35 miles away. It's the furthest one. But every school district that does adjoin us in our boundaries has an unacceptable high school. I asked the commissioner, how can you justify closing us, our secondary school, and sending us to another unacceptable? Well, that's a problem. Now, consolidation is a different thing. On that one, the boards vote, and you can consolidate with someone that does not have a contiguous boundary with us. And I cannot speak for TA. I do not know what their final decision is going to be as to what district. But they're just going to inherit our problems. I do not know they can correct them. Our worst problem and it's one of the bullets from TEA, is low attendance rates. The school board, the administration, the teachers can work 150%, and if those kids don't come to school, we will be annexed. So how do we get them to school? We have been doing everything for years. Principals and security officers knocking on doors. They don't open the door. What happened, I believe, Mr. Davis, in Premont, the culture changed. There is no longer that from parents to... No, no, wait, don't get me wrong. We have a lot of good people here. But we have some that aren't interested in school. Those are bringing our attendance rate down. What happens on the last day of school before Christmas holidays when there's 50 kids absent? What happened yesterday when there were 40 kids absent? We had a parent tell us, don't call me anymore, and he's not going. I believe that if we're going to be, if we, in the end, will be annexed, it will be due to low attendance rate, and perhaps, you know, we don't know yet what the tech scores and the new STAR test are going to produce here. But everybody else is doing everything they can. Do we want to be annexed? No, this school's 100 years old. My father graduated from this high school, as did I. And my kids and grandkids, this means a lot to me. What can we do? What can we do?
Cutting sports made sense when you look at the tally sheet, but for the students, it didn't add up. Juniors Nathan Pohl and Maria Elena Navarro said they were hurt and frustrated by the decision.
It's very confusing and it's very, very stressful, and it's unfair because we do our part in making the grades and everything, but yet we're the ones that I can't be in volleyball. I mean, I've been a cheerleader all three of my high school years, and I was going to try out for head cheerleader, and then all of a sudden, boom, no football, you can't be cheerleader, nothing. And it's like, well, I wish you would have told us this earlier. I could have left, or, you know, it's like a lot of unfairness, a lot of stress. It's horrible.
It's hard to deal with all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of pressure on the school. The students show up, get your test grades up. I mean, and they say that if the school district was to be dissolved, that would be a tremendous hardship on the town. The town could possibly
probably turn into a ghost town.
Yeah.
There would be nothing here.
Students, y'all talk about that?
Yeah. We talk about it every day. In almost every class, we talk about who's leaving, who's staying, who's going to stay and fight, who's more concerned about helping the school, or who's more concerned about getting a better education somewhere else. It's just so much pressure, so many questions.
I hear that a lot of them go to Falcarius, is that right?
Yeah.
A lot of our friends are leaving to Fal, and it's hard because we're going to graduate next year without half of our class. It's horrible.
How come you didn't go?
Because I wanted to graduate from the school I've been in all my life with the friends that I've grown up with.
I don't want to just leave and then show that I'm giving up. I don't want to stay and fight.
But then it's hard because I want to play sports, and I want help to get to college, and I want all the things that my friends that left are getting now. So it's kind of a sticky situation.
Did you play sports?
Yes.
What'd you play?
I was a quarterback on the football team.
So now no football next year?
Mm-mm. That was the hardest part for me, hearing we weren't going to have football next year. My senior year of football. My last game, how was I supposed to know that was the last football game I'm ever going to play in high school?
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard. And then they didn't even tell us. Friends had to tell us that we didn't have sports. Like, they didn't announce it.
Mm-mm.
Our friend just came up to us, you know, we don't have some sports next year.
Yeah, one of my friends called me in tears. I don't know where I was, but she called me at the first tennis practice. Oh my God, Mariela, there's no more sports. Our coach just closed the gates right in front of our faces and said, sorry, there's no more sports until next basketball season. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, all of a sudden, they were just like, sorry, that's it. It's over. And we were like, oh my gosh. And then by the time everything was final, it was too late for us to try out for cheerleader at another school, or too late for us to go play somewhere else. It was horrible.
So it seems like Superintendent Singleton has figured out a way to try and keep things going. I mean, now there is going to be another school year for sure.
Yes, yeah. But it's just going to be, I mean, half of the semester we're just going to be focusing on, I guess, academics more than anything else. And A lot of my friends have the reason to pass. If you pass, you play.
So a lot of kids don't have the motive to pass anymore.
Yeah. So they're just like, I'm not playing sports anymore. Why do I have to pass? Like, before it was like, oh, I have a game Friday. I need to keep my grades up. You know, here I have a football game or I have a volleyball game. I need to keep passing. You know.
But now some kids are like, well, what's the point if I can't play? Then why should I even try?
And the sports also builds like a sense of pride, and a sense of like
teamwork.
Team, yeah.
And community, because the whole town
would get involved, especially for football. That was the biggest thing. Yeah, everybody would be there.
And we're not even going to be able to have our senior homecoming, pep rally, homecoming game, homecoming court. Our senior year, they just took it away from us. And yeah, we want to stay and fight, but it's like they take something away from us, and now they want us to help them back. It's very unfair.
So you feel like you're paying for the sins of your father's, you know, past administration mistakes?
Yes. It's like, why should we suffer when we've done the best we've could?
Yeah.
So what are y'all plans? What's going to happen to you guys?
I'm staying next year, for sure.
And then after you graduate?
I went off to college, UTSA, UT.
What about you?
I'm so undecided. I don't know if I'm leaving or staying. But after I graduate, from wherever I graduate, I plan to go to college.
Do you think that when you go to college and you get the skills to get a good job and all that, you'll come back to Fremont or try and live someplace else?
Maybe to visit family.
I don't want to live here. Maybe to come back and see how the town's doing, but I don't plan to make a life here.
What would you tell Mr. Singleton if you had a chance to talk to him?
Oh. I'd probably want to talk about everything.
I'd want to ask him questions and...
like why things are the way they are.
And I'd want to thank him for sticking with us, sticking it out, and not quitting, because I know a lot of people could not take on his job.
The TEA has ruled that Fremont can continue for now, but the future for Fremont is still shaky. Superintendent Singleton is looking at building a fund balance and a revenue surplus for the district, but the next legislative session is expecting another multi-billion-dollar deficit, and more education cuts are expected. The story of Fremont ISD and how it survived a death penalty is this month's cover story in the Texas Observer. You can read the article I wrote about Fremont's turnaround at texasobserver.org.
Support for Texas Matters is provided by the Institute of Texan Cultures Made in Texas exhibit.
That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past Texas Matters programs online at tpr.org, and you can subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.